And they'll be over the Hudson River at 5 p.m. heading past the Statue of Liberty. Followed by bombers and Marine Corps fighters. Later in the evening, Macy's will do its fireworks finale at an unannounced location, wrapping up a week of pop-up shows designed to prevent crowds from forming. The fireworks special will include John Legend and the Empire State Building and airs on NBC starting at 8 p.m. Ashok Bala, NBC News Radio, New York.
A Texas university is ready to teach students all about pop singer Selena. The University of Texas at San Antonio added a course dedicated to her life, career, and death 25 years ago. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
I'm Mike Tipton, checking in with our partners at the CBS 4 Warren Weather Center. You're looking good for your 4th of July for the most part. Partly cloudy with a 20% chance of thunderstorms in the evening time. El Paso reaching a high of 100 degrees. Winds coming out of the southwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. A little hotter on your Sunday, though. 101, the expected high in the Sun City. For a complete look at your weather forecast, visit CBS4Local.com.
Hey fam, Jada Pinkett Smith here, bringing your favorite Red Table Talk episodes to podcast. I want to introduce you to two of the most important women in my life. My mom, Gammy. She's really old school.
I never wanted you to be in that situation.
Like, no, not date Will at all.
And then we have my daughter, Willow.
I'm going to be like my ancestors and just do what I need to do.
Listen to the Red Table Talk podcast presented by Facebook Watch and Westbrook Audio on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KTSM AM El Paso is News Radio 690, an iHeart radio station. News Radio 690 KTSM.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management, and by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're ready to start the second hour. Are you ready to start?
I'm ready.
You're all queued up and ready to go because you're on
here.
Tape. You're pre-recorded.
Yes, I am.
Anyway, so we start this hour with the El Paso History Moment like we always do. Often do.
Yes.
And produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And our History Moment today explains how the 4th of July became a national holiday.
How did the 4th of July become a national holiday? For the first 15 or 20 years after the Declaration was written, people didn't celebrate it much on any date. It was too new and too much was happening in the young nation. By the 1790s, a time of bitter partisan conflicts, the Declaration had become controversial. One party, the Democratic Republicans, admired Jefferson and the Declaration, but the other party, the Federalists, thought the Declaration was too French and too British, which went against their current policies. By 1817, John Adams complained in a letter that America seemed uninterested in the past, but that would soon change. After the War of 1812, the Federalist Party began to come apart, and the new parties of the 1820s and 1830s all considered themselves inheritors of Jefferson and the Democratic Republicans. Printed copies of the Declaration began to circulate again, all with the date of July 4, 1776 listed at the top. The deaths of Thomas Jefferson and John Adams on July 4, 1826 may even have helped to promote the idea of July 4th as an important date to celebrate. Celebrations of the 4th of July became more common as the years went on, and in 1870, almost 100 years after the Declaration was written, Congress first declared July 4th to be a national holiday as part of a bill to officially recognize several holidays, including Christmas. Further legislation about national holidays, including July 4th, was passed in 1839 and 1941. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
History Alliance.
The History Alliance.
Who are they?
They're aligned. Well, they're right here, Bernie, and Max and all those guys are doing all that stuff out there, you know, with the website that they've got. The El Paso History Alliance Facebook page has great pictures and stories and history, and is very active in trying to preserve history in, here in El Paso. And also, if you want to talk to Bernardo about history, who's on the Alliance, and any other kind of stuff, you can give him a call at 915-581-7920. And another partner we must mention, that's Barbara Givenbaney and her
BGB.
Crew.
BGB.
Oh, my God, BGB. That crew over there, remember in El Paso when? You can go there for great archive pictures, tons of them, and they've got, I think, over 33,000 muscle minutes. Let's put it that way.
A lot
way.
Of people who hooked
mass,
up
yeah.
to that.
Yeah,
and it's worthy because the pictures, I think, their archives are extensive.
Oh, yeah. And it is great because it's just not just them, but there's other people that submit pictures that are
oh,
on
yeah,
that board.
Oh, yeah, to put more pictures on there. And also to talk about who helps her out because it's a volunteer thing. A moderator named Craig Hayes and Barbara is the big one, Barbara Givenbaney, then Ken Weiss and Paul Levy, or Louie, L-E-W-E-Y. How do you pronounce that?
How do you spell it?
L-E-W-E-Y. Louis.
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 Hey, well, thank
Louis,
you, whoever Louis. You are. Thank you for what you do. All right. Back to Bernie. Bernie's here.
I am.
Talking history about El Paso. Today, the focus is on lawmen on the border.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, the border goes, well, by Pat Garrett, he was actually on the border.
Yes, he was.
He was the customs guy down on the border.
He was. He was a collector.
But he was also the guy up in New Mexico, shot Billy the Kid up in Lincoln.
There he was.
No, not Lincoln. Well, near, no, over in Maxwell's ranch. Where
Silver
was
Hammer.
It? No. Maxwell's Ranch.
Maxwell's Ranch, yeah.
don't do that, Bernie. How long has the bar been open at here? That's not.
It's really good water.
It's not water in there. Okay, but no, the point is the lawmen are the interesting people, and they had children.
Yes.
Any of them had siblings? I was trying to say the word sibling.
Yeah.
But it wasn't siblings necessarily.
No,
it was their children.
Their children. Okay. Their children. Niños and
well,
niños.
Pick another one. Go for it. Who else we got to talk about here?
How about Fusselman?
Yes.
Yeah. That was an interesting story. He was in town to testify in a court case. And a gentleman, a rancher, came in and said that his cattle had been stolen. Well, unfortunately, they didn't have an abundance of law enforcement to go along with him. So there was a couple of folks, gentleman by the name of Harold, and another gentleman joined Fusselman, who was a Texas Ranger, and headed out towards what is we now know as Trans Mountain area. Or Fusselman Canyon, as it's now called.
On the east side.
On the east side of the mountain. It was called Smuggler's Gap. They would oftentimes steal cattle on the east side of the mountain, take it over the mountain, and they would hide them in the bosque down on the river on the west side.
And we're talking about the cut in the road that the road makes now.
Yes.
Before they made the cut, that was actually the lowest pass on the Franklins right there.
It was.
So they'd run cattle up that and down the other side.
Mm-hmm. They'd usually steal the cattle. They would get to the base of the mountain there on the east side and camp out overnight and then head over the hill. Well, Fusselman and a couple of his friends, law enforcement, they went up and they decided they were going to try to catch them. And when they got close, they realized that it was a little bit more risky than they had thought. And the last thing that Fusselman said was, "Boys, we are in for it, and let's stay with it." And he was immediately shot dead.
Oh. Oops.
Oops.
Well, he was in for it.
Yeah, he was in for it.
And
so,
but he got a canyon named after him. So there you are.
Got a canyon named after him. And I mentioned Bob Ross earlier. Bob Ross put together a posse of 10 and tried to catch the varmints that had taken Fusselman's life. They didn't. They didn't. They were not successful in doing that.
How many cattle would they generally take over that?
30, 40, 50.
Whatever they could get.
Yeah. Depending on how many people they had. You know, if they had two or three, it might just be a small group of cattle. But if they had a contingent of maybe 5 to 10, they might try to go for as many as they could get.
Well, I could see from my house on the other side of the mountain where they would come down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a simple thing.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
And it took 10 years before that varmint that put an end to Fusselman. It took 10 years for them to capture him. And he was captured in New Mexico. And they did a prisoner swap. They brought him back down to El Paso. And he was the very last person to die by hanging in El Paso.
What a distinction.
Who was that?
Potus.
Oh, Potus.
The guy that killed Fusselman.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. No, that's Fusselman.
Yeah,
right.
And it took him a little bit of an effort, and I won't go into details about what happened.
Well, he didn't die the first time
they
swung him, right?
Two of them were going to hang. The first one was successful. Then they put him up there, and he was up there for quite some time, and he wasn't dead.
Oh, dear.
So they hoisted him back up and did it over again.
Mm.
Yeah.
Enough of that.
But
okay, moving on to other people here. You've got a Gillette and an Eskimo. Who do you want to go?
Let's go to Gillette.
Gillette is very... We know one of his descendants. She was a teacher at Anderson.
Yeah.
Ruth Gillette.
Ruth Gillette.
We had her on the show about a year and a half ago. went to Pepe's, and I think half the school showed up or contacted her.
Yeah.
And I think she's still around. I see her at Pepe's. Haven't seen her recently, but then I haven't seen anybody at Pepe's recently. But whatever. But so what about Gillette?
James Buchanan Gillette. Interesting individual in himself. And we had a lot of those kind of people right that were here. He was assistant city marshal and a rancher. You know, killed two birds with one stone. He was better at ranching than he was at being a law enforcement officer. He was a Texas Ranger for a short period of time in Menard, Texas.
Menard,
yes, my
maiden
name.
Menard.
Yeah, I'm trying to take over Texas. I have a county now. I have a town.
You can have the other end of Texas.
I have a mansion on Galveston that they won't let me move into.
You're welcome to it. They don't care about us, and the feeling's mutual.
Yeah, but they got better places than I am.
No, they got bugs over there.
Oh, that Galveston mansion.
But he was a ranger in 1881. He served 6 years before he resigned from the Rangers. Then he was appointed assistant city marshal here in El Paso. And he did that, served that until late 1890s, and he ended up in Alpine, New Mexico territory, where he moved his family, and then ultimately into Roswell, New Mexico. He published his own memoirs in 1921, 6 years with the Texas Rangers. You can find that online.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. He finally died of heart failure in June of 1937, but he left a legend. You know, he was a scout. He was an Indian fighter. You know, an interesting individual. He was attacked in a stagecoach once, so he got involved with a gunfight in a stagecoach. Interesting individual, but ultimately ended up passing away in Marfa, Texas.
Marfa.
And that's where he's buried.
Wow. Marfa.
So, all right. You did.
And no, they didn't name razors after him either.
You did Ross already, didn't you?
Yeah, we talked about Bob Ross.
Escontrias.
Okay.
Escontrias is the name of the family who owned Waco Tanks at one point as a ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up turning that over, I think, to a developer, I believe, and then it turned into the state park after that.
Yeah, it was also a stagecoach stop.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but he was involved with the underworld, and sort of later in the time period, he actually was enforcing the Volstead Act and the Harrison Narcotics Act, fighting illegal liquor coming across the border from Mexico, very much involved with that. He was a partner with a gentleman, a lawman, whose name was Tom Three Persons.
That's the one I was trying to remember. When I told you on the phone, I got some guy's name I can't remember.
Yeah.
Three Persons. Was that a Native American name? Or?
It sounds like a Native American
name. I think
American.
It was.
Yeah. I can look that up for the next time I'm on.
Wait.
He was very, very much involved with the fighting narcotics and alcohol. That was his big undoing. He killed a gentleman by the name of Ignacio Dos Amantes in front of the El Paso police station. Dos Amantes was loved and hated, both, but the people that loved him had a voice in El Paso, so that kind of spelt Escontrias' undoing because he was convicted of murder because of that crime, or because he was doing it. Ultimately, he was served 5 years and then granted a pardon. Excuse me. And once he was pardoned from jail, he just kind of faded away from view after that.
Well, don't forget Escontrias, the people that ran Waco Tanks. Their visitor center
mm-hmm.
is the original ranch house
mm-hmm.
of the Escontrias family.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to people who whose family, they were connected, they're part of the family. And they said so many people were born there and they came out there for parties all the time.
Yeah. Well, I know that he was also accused of using excessive force.
Oh, well, that happened. It did happen.
One of those law enforcement people that used excessive force.
I've heard about that.
Uh-huh. So that was Contreras. Kind of a short career, but interesting in effect, because he was so much involved with the liquor laws and the drugs.
He was a Cherokee, three-person.
Three-person?
Yeah, he was a Cherokee.
Okay, now we know.
Cherokee lawman.
That's what I thought.
Great. Yeah. Where was Bass Reeves was over there in the Cherokee Nation at one time, too?
I think so.
He was a black law enforcement
Bass,
officer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was a character.
Yeah,
I'd love to do a story on him.
Yeah, that's
he was an amazing guy.
That's another story we need to cover at a later time.
Now, you got a lawman named Outlaw?
Bass Outlaw.
He's on your list as Outlaw.
Yeah, Bass Outlaw.
Bass was his first name?
Bass was his first name, yeah.
And Outlaw was the second.
He was born in Georgia.
Okay.
And there's some discrepancy as to what year he was born, 1852 or 1853. His real name was Sebastian Lamar Bass.
Oh, my.
Was his nickname. And probably one of the most dangerous Texas Rangers that they had. It was a short little guy. They called him Little Coyote, Little Wolf. They had a lot of nicknames for him. And many a person would say, we wouldn't mind him coming to our house and having dinner with us. But when he starts drinking, lock the doors, bring the kids in from outside, because he just went nuts.
Put him outside.
Yeah, leave him outside.
Oh,
yeah,
goodness.
You bet. Now, Bass Outlaw was a Texas Ranger for a short period of time. He was very well known. He did a really good job when he was sober, and he got himself in a lot of trouble when he was drinking, and he had gotten promoted to sergeant. Well, one of the Texas Rangers had been killed, and he took his place as a sergeant. And I think it went to his head, and he decided to use that title against folks out in the Alpine Fort Davis area. And it finally, they had to ask him to leave. They actually asked him to resign rather than firing him, because he was such a good Texas Ranger when he was sober. And they didn't want him to leave under that umbrella, even though everybody knew Bass Outlaw was a bad guy.
Well, you reenacted one of his events here in El Paso.
Yeah, his
you?
Demise. Bass Outlaw was in El Paso after he left the Rangers service. He became an assistant deputy U.S. Marshal, and he was in El Paso for a court case. He had been drinking to excess, which he was known to do a lot of, as I mentioned, and he was looking for his favorite young lady at Tilly Howard's House of Ill Repute over on Utah Street, and when she was nowhere to be found, he continued drinking, and he went out behind the building take care of business, and the outhouse was back out there. And the story is, he accidentally dropped his pistol, and it went off. And as soon as it went off, Tilly started blowing her whistle. The madams had whistles. When they would blow them, law enforcement would come running to see what they needed to do to help the damsel in distress.
Yes.
Distress.
Distress.
So law enforcement came running, including a young gentleman by the name of Joe McKittrick.
Ah, he's on your list.
He was a young Texas Ranger. He had showed up for a court case earlier that week and happened to be walking down the street when he heard the whistle. And he took off running to the back of Tilly Howard's establishment. And when he got there, by that time, John Selman had walked out the back door because he happened to be close by too. And he yelled at Bass. He goes, Bass, put the gun away, put the gun away. He goes, well, it was an accident. McKittrick jumps over the wall into the backyard, and Selman tells McKittrick, we got it under control. McKittrick goes, oh, no, it's not going to end like this, because he wanted to arrest him for firing the pistol off, and he was drunk and disorderly with a gun. Bass takes his pistol, whirls around almost point blank, and shoots McKittrick and kills him instantly.
Oh.
Well, not instantly. McKittrick fell across the wall, but he was dead. And Selman pulls his pistol out because Outlaw started firing in his direction, so he shot two shots at blindly. Well, I digress. Outlaw turned around with his pistol and fired towards Selman, so close that he night-blinded him with the gunpowder.
Ooh.
So he couldn't see. So what Selman was doing was firing back at Outlaw, just going by noise, and he managed to hit him twice.
Ooh.
Okay. Outlaw falls over the building and drags himself up Utah Street to Overland, and then collapses. By then, another law enforcement officer, Milton, shows up, and he helps him to the Barnum Saloon, where he goes inside and they lay them down and try to treat him, but he passes away.
We'll pick up Milton after the break, because Milton had a history of his history was unusual, where he came from.
Jefferson Davis.
Yeah, that guy, yeah, from the South,
Jeff
basically.
Milton. Great history.
All right, we'll talk more about him after the break. I'll take that there break here. Just one more time, if you want to buy a house on the west side, I'm not kidding. You want to buy my house on the west side.
Kick him out. Move in and kick him out.
I'm selling an old one, but it's been fixed up brand new. Call the number that Melissa's about to give you, and I'll take your name down and call you during the week. And otherwise, I'll make you a deal you can't believe.
I'm looking for that phone number.
No, it's right written on your page here.
I don't have it on my page.
No, it's on the board. 544.
Oh, 5876?
Yeah, that's all.
Oh, I thought you meant.
No,
never
you
mind.
Call
never
that
mind.
Number. You call that number,
call
and Andrew will take the message for on the air for Bernie, for you, for me and my house, or not at all.
Yeah, you caught me off guard on that.
I'm sorry.
Okay. 554.
No.
544. 544. See, now you got me all messed
Start
up.
Start over. Read the darn thing.
Okay.
5.
544. 5876 or 544-KTSM.
Yeah, that's the one. That's
visit
the one.
Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
This is Andrew J. Polk with News Radio 690 KTSM. Different sets of restrictions are in place across the borderland in response to the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic for the July 4th holiday. Statewide mandatory mask orders are in place in Texas. In El Paso, fireworks are also banned in the county. In New Mexico, mask orders are being enforced, and anyone staying the night is being instructed to self-isolate for 2 weeks. El Paso has 135 total deaths from the COVID-19 coronavirus and 2,456 known active cases in the county. 200 patients are currently hospitalized, with 4,362 recovered in total. From the News Radio 690 KTSM News Desk, I'm Andrew J. Polk.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Fake Doctors, Real Friends is the podcast that recaps the television sitcom Scrubs from the perspective of the series stars Zach Braff and Donald Faison.
I'm sure this is so annoying, but I just want to say I love the show. And I'm like, I'm always like, it's not annoying. Are you kidding me? That's like the best compliment you can give us. So,
well, it's annoying when you're eating food.
Join Zach and Donald twice a week as they interview former cast members, directors, and even creator Bill Lawrence. Listen to Fake Doctors, Real Friends on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
To start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
It's already a number one bestseller, and it's called Blitz. Trump Will Smash the Left and Win. By famed author David Horowitz, Blitz makes predictions about President Trump that will shock you. He also warns about radical groups like Antifa. Blitz is at bookstores, or get the free offer and save $28. Just call 800-NEWS-MAX or go to blitz411.com. blitz411.com. Mike Huckabee says if everyone read Blitz, Trump would win. Newsmax says it's the best book for 2020. Call 800-NEWS-MAX for the free offer now.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A lot going on. Hello. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello. A lot going on today here, but we'll tell you what's going on next week here on the radio show. July the 11th, live again. We're going to review the 12 Travelers Monument Project with Jody Schwartz and Nancy Howell. Plus artist Ethan Hauser will be with us. They're working on Benito Juarez to be placed at the Chamizal. That'll be an interesting monument. That's next week on July the 11th. July 18th, Carl Lombaugh's in town, but not really. By phone, he'll be here. He's from Las Cruces. He'll be back on the air to explain a fabulous research archive in Las Cruces, New Mexico, called the Institute of Historical Survey Foundation. I went up there. I had never heard of it, really.
Yeah.
But I took a look at it. It's amazing. Great place for Southwest research. It's not really open to the public, per se. It is, but they're looking for researchers.
You need to talk to them,
Donation. Well, Carl will explain all that.
Yeah.
Plus, I forgot to ask Carl when I talked to him on the phone. He's got a whole freezer of buffalo meat.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because he's always selling the tickets for the event, and they can't have it this year.
They had to call it off in mid-March.
There you go, Bernie.
So is this buffalo meat going to—I'm going to ask him when that is.
Buffalo
steak. On 25th of July, check this out, ABC 7 General Manager Kevin Lovell and former ABC 7 news anchor Rick Cabrera. They're our guests to talk about the history of TV that they know in El Paso and also events that they've seen. Then ask him, what do you think? Oh, yeah, Rick was right in the middle of the 2006 flood. That got everybody who's around. You have a story. If you were here then, you have a story.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
So he's got one. Plus, he was out there at ASARCO when the stacks came down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting next to him, and he put me on his air, and I put him in my documentary. But the next day, I watched him on TV, and the City Hall came down. And I'm sure glad I didn't go with him that day, because City Hall came down the street right at him, came right
over him,
engulfed him, and he was live on the air as City Hall pieces came flying at him.
Good Lord.
So anyway, he's got some stories, and that'll be what we do for the rest of July. What do you got?
Well, I just want to tell you, well, first of all, you're going to Pepe's today, right?
Yes, I am.
Unfortunately, I cannot go. And Bernie, you going to go over to Pepe's? You can go. You have a hall pass.
Can I have your permission?
Yeah, you have my permission.
Hall pass awarded.
That's right. Heads up, Pepe's will be on vacation, though, starting Monday, July 6th, and will reopen Tuesday, July 21st. So get over there and get your food before they, you know, take a vacation.
This is it, yeah.
So no Pepe's for 2 weeks starting this Monday. But, yeah, head on out there and can you teal?
And we socially distance when we get there, and eat
right.
with a long fork. And nobody gets hurt.
That's
long
right.
Straws.
So, Bernie Sargent's here. We got a couple of minutes here for our next break. You got somebody you want to finish up with? Where were we?
We started talking about Milton.
Milton. Yeah. Judd Milton.
Jefferson Davis Milton.
But he was no relation to Judd.
No relation. In fact, you know, Kevin's going to be on here a couple of weeks. I did do some research on that. Judd Wilson.
Judd Milton.
Milton, excuse me. Milton was a very well-known commentator. He was on... Was it KROD Radio?
KTSM, big time.
KTSM Radio and KTSM TV.
Yes.
He did the K-Hey Game of the Week announcements, and he was a big band's announcer for all the concerts here locally in town.
I remember him as a kid. He was a broadcaster here, and I heard the name, and when you said you're going to do Milton, I thought, God, would he be related? And the answer is no.
No,
okay.
Not. Interesting, I found a picture of him. He had actually won a contest for Playboy magazine.
To do what?
He had picked the most popular jazz group of the year. And there's a picture of him sitting with the Playmate sitting on his lap and his wife looking at him. Not too happy about that whole situation.
There's so many jokes there I'm not going to say. Don't do it.
Yeah. So that's Judd Davis.
Now, Jefferson Davis, right? Jeff Davis, wasn't it?
No, that was Judd Davis, the announcer. So Jefferson Davis.
Oh, okay. Davis, his middle name was Davis. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Jefferson Davis.
Jefferson Davis Milton was the lawman we're talking about from the old days.
I got to drink more of this water.
Oh, yeah. Really
anyway,
good water.
Yeah, he came from Florida. In fact, his relatives go all the way back to John Milton, the famous poet from England. And his family were early settlers on the East Coast. They came in on some of the first ships that came into the United States back in the day. His father was governor of Florida. His dad also was received several, electoral college votes for president of the United States at one time. Now, being in the South, they were Southern sympathizers, but they had no slaves on their plantation. His dad, after the Civil War was over and they lost, Confederates lost, he committed suicide.
Mm.
And Jeff was only a few years old, or like four or five years old. So he ended up working in the fields with his brothers and sisters. He had a pretty large family, and they became very destitute. And I believe it was the age of 13 he ran away from home. He ended up in Texas. He lied about his age at the age of 15 so he could join the Texas Rangers.
Oh, boy.
And that's how he got his start in law enforcement in the state of Texas.
Well, he was here doing something for a while in El Paso.
Yeah, he was here for quite a while in El Paso. He was involved with the the slaying of Martin Moroz along with George Scarborough.
That's the guy.
Yeah, he was in the background. Jeff, as he was referred to here locally, had come to town. Let me give a little bit of background on this. He had been invited to come here to be in law enforcement. And when he traveled in, he was interviewed by William Burgess, okay, of the Burgess House, Burgess family, he and Richard. He was interviewed by the mayor, Bob Johnson, and they asked him to take the job. Now, his police captain was Bob Ross. We talked about him earlier in the show. He also was very close friends with Scarborough. He knew Scarborough quite well.
What a crew, huh?
That's how he ended up on the bridge with him, because he was law enforcement also.
Okay.
He wanted backup. And what they were trying to do is, in negotiating with Martin Moroz to come across the river, George had gone over there a couple of times and talked with Martin to convince him it was safe to come over. And
he was part of the ambush.
The interesting story is we portray that also. And Six Guns and Shady Ladies. And in doing the research, there are so many newspaper articles and interviews with people that were there, including Milton and Scarborough and so on, that were actually there when it took place. And as it turns out, Morose had come across, and he had his pistol out when he first got on the bridge. And George convinced him to put his pistol away, that it was safe. So he came across, he got all the way across the bridge, and continued talking with George as they got on the other side, and they had gotten close to, they call it a dump pile. They had just debris on the side of the bridge. And they were standing next to it when Martin got a little bit nervous. He pulled his pistol out, and that's when everybody opened fire on him. So it wasn't an ambush. They were there because Martin was known to be a good shot, and they didn't want to take the chance of him getting a few rounds off.
Oh, dear.
And when they did find the pistol, there was one round fired, and it was in his hand. But they don't know where it was fired to. Now, the first shot that took Martin Moroz out was George Scarborough's. But he had eight bullet wounds. So, yeah, he was like Swiss cheese.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
So that's his story. All right.
That's his story. Well, anyway, what ends up happening with Milton is he stays around town. He serves here as the chief of police. He also was a deputy U.S. Marshal. And for quite some time, he actually was kind of friends with John Wesley Hardin. And from time to time, he was known to calm Hardin down, because Hardin, when he drank, had a short temper also. So Milton was able to do that. He was also friends with Selman Sr. and Selman Jr. John Selman Jr. worked for him when he was chief of police.
It's a club. They were all in the same club.
Yeah. So there was a lot of camaraderie, and a lot of folks would trust in people like Jeff Milton, because he was known as being easygoing, but don't push him too far.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
We need to take it back. Raul's back on the phone, or us another Raul. I don't know which. But if you don't mind, please hold. We need to take a break and come back and talk about El Paso, Inc. So, Raul, stay there. Don't go away, please.
Don't go anywhere.
And call us again, that number real quick.
915-544-5876, 915-544-KTSM.
With over 19 years of experience in the El Paso real estate market, Patrick Tuttle has successfully navigated the ups and downs of uncertain markets, including the last recession. And he can assist you in buying or selling in the current market. Call him today, 915-588-1850.
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle with Legacy Real Estate Services. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me. Call me today at 915-588-1850. 588-1850.
The Ron Burgundy Podcast is your chance to listen to the most distinguished newscaster of all time. Try to fit the facts of the day into his head.
When did this happen?
You will listen to him laugh. You will listen to him cry. You will listen to him do this.
We either have to get out of here or we have to eat someone.
All three seasons of the Ron Burgundy Podcast are available to binge now. Find the Ron Burgundy Podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
El Paso's News Radio 690 KTSM.
A
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you ready? This week only in El Paso, Inc.
Budget hearings for the city of El Paso are underway on the heels of plummeting sales tax and other revenue and the ongoing COVID-19 crisis. How deep is the budget hole and what will it take for the city to climb out?
Also in the Inc., the chief executive of El Paso's largest health network talked to El Paso Inc. about the COVID-19 spikes, how much ICU space is left, and his best and worst days.
Sophisticated drinks don't have to include alcohol. For your next drink, mix a pitcher of mocktails that any socially distanced party guest can enjoy.
Celebrating its 25th year, El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
To order your copy of El Paso Inc., go online to elpasoinc.com.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra. ABC Special Report, Please Call Back, by ABC 7 anchor Eric Elkin, showed how difficult it can be to make an appointment for COVID-19 testing. Sunday, we learn what the city will do to make testing more accessible. Eric Elkin joins the host, Saul Sines, asking Fire Chief Mario DiAgostino what changes are being made to the phone lines for El Pasoans to rely on to make a test appointment.
And Saul's other guest is City and County Health Authority Dr. Hector Acaranza.
It's your turn.
I know, Acaranza, who speaks about the importance of making the types of changes that will make testing more accessible to all El Pasoans. Join host Saul Sines as he moderates the discussion Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7 Extra.
And Saul is so good. He gave me the promo overnight, and also he knows how to pronounce those people's names.
Yes, I had actually practiced.
I can't do it.
I practiced Acaranza, and then I was like,
well,
out the window.
DiAgostino should be pretty easy, but it wasn't. So
I can't speak English, so I hope no one gets insulted.
Dr. O.
We're all
Dr. O.
No,
yes.
But then it could be anybody like Otis. No, never mind.
Or like Dr. O.
That man is Bernie Sargent. I think we have a question from Raul again. Raul, are you back? Is this the same Raul? Good morning.
Same Raul, no question. Oh. I heard you guys talking about the Texas Rangers, and you guys overall, we've been discussing the good and bad of historical figures. A couple of weeks ago, listening to my second other favorite radio station, NPR, they had an interview with Doug Swanson, who's just finished writing a book called The Cult of Glory, The Bold and Brutal History of the Texas Rangers.
They did tough stuff. They did tough stuff. They really did, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, they were not nice all the time.
Yeah, it says it's a 21st century reckoning with the legendary Texas Rangers that does justice to their heroic moments while also documenting atrocities, brutality, oppression, and corruption. The book tells the story of how the white property power structure of Texas used them as enforcers, protectors, and officially sanctioned killers.
There are many examples of that. There really are. No argument there.
Great interview that they had of him and my friend. We were driving up to Cloudcroft, going camping on the way while we were listening to the program. And he says, "Well, what do you think it's going to say?" I said, "It's probably going to talk about how they brutalized Mexicans and Mexican Americans." And sure enough, that's what part of it was.
Our history is not wonderful. Go ahead, Melissa.
There are some questions by historians, both Hispanic and Anglo, on the book, so I'm waiting on that one to see where it's going to come out in the end on it. Because there were some questions on the way the stories were portrayed as to being not totally factual.
But there's some tough history in Rangers history.
Yeah,
but Bernie,
I mean, history's not pretty.
Bernie, what are your thoughts?
Pretty much the same thing. I mean, it you can interpret it a lot of different ways. Now, they did some things that, quite honestly, I would not have done.
Yeah.
But then again, there were some things that were done to some of the farmers and ranchers in the area that were not nice either.
Neither one justifies it.
Raul, you
bring up a good point, Raul. Yeah. Thanks for bringing it up.
You know, it's sort of like there's discussions between the Native American tribes. Now, they were not nice to each other.
No, they weren't.
And so, you know, we can't rewrite that. but we can learn from it.
That's
and
the
not
point.
Replicate.
Yeah, no, I think, Raul, you have a good point there.
Yeah,
and
a good point.
And thanks for bringing it up. You take it easy, okay?
What is you guys' idea on this? I've been told this before because I consider myself a student of history and a critic of some of the actions of the past. But you cannot judge the actions of the past based on the values of today.
True.
Would you agree with that?
I wouldn't do.
Always right and wrong, always wrong.
No, yeah. I couldn't go back and do what those people did under any circumstances. Yeah. But then, you know, so what?
That was the time period. It's not my option.
I agree, Raul. We can't rewrite history. What was fair and balanced back then is appalling to us today.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we have to go back and destroy every piece of evidence that ever occurred.
Well, we need the evidence standing there to look at and say, okay, here's the right and wrong as we see it today compared to what they did. And I think that's how we should look at it. There's no reason to tear down things that are, even though they're bad, whatever.
And the main lesson that comes out of it all is do not repeat bad history.
That's another reason to leave it standing.
That's all
so
they can say.
See it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we got to move on to more lawmen, but thank you very much for your thinking.
Thanks,
okay?
Raul. I appreciate
you
it.
Bet.
You take it easy. And Bernie, you got more lawmen to go here. We've got a couple.
I'm not done with Milton.
Milton, there you go.
No,
go
no.
Do Milton.
Yeah, he was an interesting guy. When he came to town, the comment was that he wasn't real active with a six shooter, but he carried a shotgun with him everywhere he went and wouldn't hesitate to use it if he had to use it. He also confronted John Selman Sr., because he found out that Selman was hustling the women for payola, which is something I didn't know until I read a couple newspaper articles.
Uncle John.
You know, for protection.
And, oh, I see.
Yeah. So he was running a protection racket. And he also was responsible for cleaning up certain aspects of downtown El Paso. And when they tried, there was a lot of folks, especially the wives of the leading citizens of the city, wanted the city cleaned up. The sporting crowd didn't want anything to do with it. But with Milton, they couldn't they couldn't ignore it. They had to do something because he had made the comment to them that he was going to shut them down. He was going to shut down, you either close it down or I'll shut it down. And so he tried to clean up downtown El Paso.
Gave him an option.
You bet. He said, you'll be closed, you'll be in jail, or I'll be dead. That was his comment to the sporting crowd.
We can arrange for that.
And that's when a lot of them ran across the border, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's when they moved a lot of it over across the border.
Yeah.
Then also, when he was chief of police, he had heard about John Wesley Hardin coming to town. And he had said, when he met him at a saloon, he said that we do not allow six-shooters to be worn on the streets of El Paso. Hardin looked at him for quite some time and said, all right, Chief, we'll abide by the law. And so he never wore an open carry type weapon after that.
But he may have had one on
him.
He may have had one on him. So he was trying to be a lawyer when he got here, Hardin.
Yeah, well, he thought he would be, yeah. He was going to come work.
So that means he kind of like got to obey the law.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, he did come to defend his cousin, or his cousin's
work on
husband?
The cart case, yeah.
Yeah.
That ended up where he was met by a young lady named Beulah Morose, who needed some legal advice, which turned into, anyway.
The husband getting killed on the bridge.
The husband getting killed on the bridge.
Oops. Ah, yes.
Yeah. Now,
and the husband's buried next to Hardin.
Two graves over.
Actually, no, Morose is Hardin is buried next to Morose because Hardin died later.
Well, all right then. But who's got the bigger mansion in the graveyard?
Right.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Now, talking a little bit more about Jeff Milton, he ended up over in Arizona where he retired. Ultimately, he was considered the father of the Border Patrol. He was the first "quote unquote" Border Patrolman for the United States, and they forced him to retire because of his age. He wanted to keep working. Yeah, when he was over,
what age?
He at 73.
Oh.
Yeah. He passed away. I think it was 86 when he passed away. But he was over in Arizona, and they cremated him, and his ashes were spread across where the old Tucson movie theater or movie studio is.
Oh.
So that's where he ended up. Now, this month's issue of True West Magazine came out. We just got it yesterday. And the feature article is about Outlaws, Pearl Heart, and the Posse of Wild Women, talking about ladies of the old West.
Yeah, Patricia Kidney. No.
Yeah. Pearl Heart was actually from Canada. She ended up in the United States. And she is given credit for being the only woman to hold up a stagecoach in the Arizona Territory. And she ended up in Yuma Jail. They actually put a special cell in there for her with an area to walk around. She had She had quite a bit of freedom within the jail. She did manage to escape one time, and the one time she escaped, Jeff Milton captured her and took her back to prison.
And she was quite the celebrity.
She was a real celebrity. People were going to the jail to get pictures taken with her.
Gosh.
And rumor has it she was released early because there was a relationship with the warden.
It's always something with these women.
Early time off for good behavior.
Yes.
Or excellent behavior. Depends on how it went.
So Jeff Milton is quite a celebrity of the Old West.
Yeah, I thought he was. I just thought for sure he'd be related to that KTSM guy, but he was not.
No.
Okay.
No.
So it goes. Got another caller coming in here, Andrew. We need that call. Let us know because we're about to. Oh, you know what, Andrew? We need to take another break. That's what we need to do here. So call us up. There's somebody on hold. We'll get to them in a minute. But we'll take a call. Oh, anything on? Oh, Vince Sanchez.
Yes, Vince is down at Brown Acres. Yes, I told
Brown
him.
Brown Acres is a place for me. Ah, yes, indeed. I want to
get your tractor out there.
I want to go see that place.
It's pretty cool.
It's a nice house.
He's got pecan trees. I've seen the pictures.
And he's right at the base of a mesa. So it's just really, the freeway's fairly close by, but you don't hear it. But it's just so nice out there. It's so calm. Sit out in a fire pit there.
Oh, yeah. So anyway.
Play washes.
So there was another guy named Sanchez that somebody called about.
Gregorio.
Gregorio Garcia. It was Gregorio N. Garcia, I thought.
And we don't have that sitting here, but I'll bet you George Sanchez does if he's listening.
And Vince probably knows something.
Yeah. Maybe we'll ask Vince. We'll see who's on the phone here in a minute. Yeah. But call us up if you think you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
If every day feels like the last, put some flavor in it. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken. Crackling campfire flavor that's bold to the bone. Plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's, bringing the down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
An iHeartRadio original podcast. October 16th, 1972, two congressmen board a small plane in Alaska and disappear. Despite a massive search, they're never found. The case goes cold until a young reporter named John Walczak starts digging. What he finds is one of the strangest stories you've never heard.
Did he indicate what was in the suitcase?
He said it was a bomb.
Listen to Missing in Alaska on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you find your favorite shows.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got Alan on the phone, but just to let you know, James O'Keefe, Jill Schmitz, and Rob Elder like El Paso History Show on Facebook.
That's right.
And we like them because of that.
And we got 7 new likes, too. So from Charles Whitworth, Jay Dreyer, Joe Cucario, German Gavotto.
We put stuff new every week on that page, so check it out. What do you got to read?
I want everybody to know Keystone Heritage Park is back open again. We were closed, open. Now we're open again. And so you can get out there to see the garden and the wetlands, 9 a.m. to sundown each day except Mondays. And they're located at 4220 Donovan Drive, just about a quarter mile north of Sunland Park Drive. And you can visit the Facebook page, Keystone Heritage Park, or the website, KeystoneHeritagePark.com. But come on out. It's a great place to go. People have been calling off the wall.
We list them as sponsors of this show. That's what we
and
do.
And we thank you.
All right, yes. Alan, are you back? What's up?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, I was going to make a couple comments on was a couple gunfights might throw some information out there.
Oh, by the way, my son Andrew looked up that gun you're talking about, and he and Bernie and I were looking at it. And
pretty cool.
Melissa,
very impressive.
During the breaks here, it's an amazing gun you're talking about. But go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, the two gunfights I'm going to talk about is comment on is the Springfield, Missouri gunfight between James Butler Hitchcock and a guy by the name of Tut. One shot from a .36 Navy at 75 yards into the heart of Tut.
Ooh, that's a pretty good shot.
And that's that one. Now, the other one is Tombstone, the OK Corral.
Right.
That was 30 rounds fired in 30 seconds at 30 feet.
Wow.
Okay, two of those rounds were shotgun, 28 handgun. One hit with a shotgun out of two and five or six handgun hits in that time limit in 30 seconds, 30 rounds. Some information that some places guys were accurate, other places there are a lot of misses.
So we have the four dead in 5 seconds in El Paso, so that's how many dead in 30 seconds with 30 shots?
I forget how many were shot, but a couple of people took more than one round.
Oh,
so.
I bet, yeah.
Four.
Interesting statistic. Bernie says four.
There's got to be some information somebody would like to think about.
Alan, thanks a lot. You take her easy.
Yeah,
thanks,
you take care. Have a good
for
weekend.
Calling. Yes.
Bye-bye, sir.
Right. By the way, I'm going to go to Pepe's. Bernie's being talked into it. And if anybody wants to go out there, today's the last day for a couple of weeks because they're going to be off. They're going to go on vacation.
Taking a break.
And we're sorry to say, but Amigos is gone, apparently.
If
I hit the lottery, I'm going to go save them. But right now, that's not an option. But the thing is, Amigos is now out of business. Apparently, he shut it down.
Yeah, I know. It's such
and they
a
were,
shame.
Hooky's a great guy. Yeah. I mean, I wish he could do better.
And it's been tough for even the big chain restaurants. So you see what happens to the poor small restaurants. I mean, they don't have as much backup as the others. So it's unfortunate.
We miss them already. All right, Bernie. Bye,
Hooky.
Got about 3 minutes here left. What do you got left to talk?
I got Frank McMahon.
Frank McMahon?
Yes, he was a Texas Ranger, an El Paso police officer, and a deputy U.S. Marshal. Also worked for the Immigration Naturalization Service.
Naturally.
Yes. He came to El Paso to be with his sister Molly, who was married to George Scarborough.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay, here we go. And he was also involved with, in fact, he when the shooting took place with Bass Outlaw and John Selman, he was the one that actually carried Bass Outlaw into the Barnum Saloon to try to recuperate.
They lay him on the bar and hope he gets backed up?
Yeah, and he kept saying, Where's my friends? That didn't work too well for him.
Dear.
And then again in 1895, he went along with his brother-in-law, George Scarborough, and Jeff Milton, and sat on the side of the river waiting for Martin Moreau to come across the river.
Same group of guys. They were in all his stuff.
Yeah.
See, they would be the movie.
It's incredible,
and they'd be all over the movie.
It's sort of like the Earp Brothers on steroids.
Well, you know, actually, talking about movies, if somebody really had too much money and wanted to do movies about the Old West, El Paso is full of these stories.
I mean, they could go every which direction with these stories. That wouldn't
Santa Lazario.
So much stuff.
Do the Salt War in Santa Lazario.
Do both the Salt Wars.
The other one that MacGuffin got into up north.
Yeah, up north, Las Cruces area.
Well, it was over in White Sands.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that the stuff in El Paso is movie quality. It's history.
To wrap this thing up with McMahon, he took George Scarborough's place when George Scarborough was shot to death over in New Mexico, working for the Rangers over there trying to hunt down cattle rustlers. He ultimately ended up in Yuma, Arizona, where he passed away at the age of 69. So that's a little bit of information about Frank McMahon.
There you are.
Yeah.
So, Bernie, thank you for coming in and dealing with all these things. We've got about a minute left if you have some other thoughts. But generally speaking, I would think El Paso history is what should lead the parade here. Not just July 4th parade like you're not in today, but you should have been. But I mean parade of how you promote the town.
Hey, and I want to thank the Rotary Clubs. They worked so hard on that event. And it's so sad that
it
didn't take place. regardless who was going to be the grand marshal. I mean, God bless those people for all the hard work they do in the community, the parade, and everything else they do for the
Well, also, they were instrumental in Keystone, were they not? Putting together some of the
Rotary clubs,
the Desert Botanical Garden. The garden. Responsible.
Great organization. Well, they're a great group of people.
A lot of good volunteers like that. To the point of, though, history, if you understood the El Paso history, none of it's just... Very little of it's sparkingly good, but a lot of it's interesting, and a lot there's a lot of bad people in our history.
Yeah.
And we can't erase them, we can't negate them, we don't necessarily honor them, but we talk about them because it is the history.
And then you understand,
And a lot of people want to come see it.
Yeah.
Because this is where it happened. The name El Paso was given to us by Oñate's expedition. So you start with that and you go forward, and he wasn't a nice guy. But the point is that's what our history is. And not to negate it, but to look at it and say, oh, yeah, now maybe. And if you see it as a mistake in the past, learn it so you don't repeat it.
It was
don't
a different world and different mores of those times, whether it be right or wrong.
And different people in charge.
Exactly. Like I said, you have to learn what not to do. That's why you need to learn about your history so you don't repeat the same thing.
Thank you both, Bernie and Melissa Sargent, for being here today. Bernie, thank you kindly. We'll see you again here one day soon.
Happy 4th of July, El Paso, and the rest of the world.
And all the servicemen, including Bernie Sargent, thank you for your service.
Very welcome.
Everybody.
It was my honor.
Next week, we'll be here again live.
Yes, we will.
Doing this again. Andrew J. Polk in the control room. Thank you kindly. Next week on the El Paso History Show. See you then.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563, Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.